welcome to episode 76, Backflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with the British twist. I need to go really quick because Darius only got 20 minutes. So we're going to do this really, really quick. By the way, I'm Tom Pringle at Pedora's Face and Backflips underscore Nerds if you want to find us on Twitter. Darius, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm quite impressed by the speed of that intro, Tom. It was almost as if you'd practiced it. I can assure you that he hasn't, since he's been doing everything last minute, but it sounded as though you had.
Yeah, so everything's last minute, and no, there's no read in front of me. I just thought I'd freestyle that. That's crazy for me. I never usually do it. John has had to pull out last minute, so I've just dived in, so I thought it's unfair that we go another week without Darius, seeing he's been away for so long. How was the holiday?
Yeah, it was excellent, thank you. Lots of fun, lots of good wildlife, lots of snorkeling. I'm not actually going to reveal the specific location, because that will make my finding the baseball books tweet easier. Which I'm sure a few of the listeners have seen, but there are copies of The Samurai Way of Baseball and You Gotta Have Wah that John kindly donated to me. I read them on holiday, and then I thought I'll write some Batflips and Nerds inscriptions in them and leave them in a random accommodation book exchange around the world. So I very much doubt that anybody will find them, but if you do, it'll be incredibly obvious. So I'm looking forward to seeing if, like, you know, maybe in 20 years' time they find their way back to us somehow.
I would be so happy if somebody finds that.
It would be amazing if somebody found them, yeah.
If they just come back. And if you haven't seen the inscriptions, one of them is, was it Koji is Joy? Koji Uehara is Joy.
Yeah.
John McGee. And then the other one was Shohei Ohtani is No Ben Carter.
Yeah.
So and nobody else could have written. Both of them then say, for more info, see backflipsandnerds.com. So if anyone, as I said in the Slack chat, 10 years' time, these guys have all moved on. I'm still running this website on my own. And I just get a message come through saying, who is Ben Carter? I would love that. That'd be the best thing ever. right,
so
let's move on. So we've got 20 minutes, as I said. We've asked some questions, so we're going to do those towards the end. But what we're going to do is try and catch Darius up on all the baseball news that's happened. So I've been disastrously trying to get MLB.com to load to give me all the news headlines. But fortunately, because of GDPR, GDPR, I can't remember which way around it is, I can't get the cookies to work at all. So now what I'm doing is scrolling through a load of news stories that happen. And, oh, my word, Google is terrible for this. At one point, you probably missed this way you would have missed this. On the 11th of May, we had a Fortnite addiction. Now, first of all, do you know what Fortnite is?
Yes, I've never played it, but I know the game. I understand the basics and that it's been a big hit.
So it's essentially a battle royale type game. You run around trying to finish people off and be the last man standing. So according to this news article, which is Fortune, it's talking about the fact that there was a Fortnite addiction, and they reckon it may have caused David Price to have a hand injury or an arm injury. I can't remember which one it is, but he was essentially taken out of a game, and Fortnite was accused. So that was fairly interesting. What else have we got that you've missed? So Darius is essentially way from the 2nd of May to 20th of May. Some guy called Robinson Cano got banned for steroids. I don't know if you know him or he's relevant.
Sounds like a marginal guy at best. I'm sure he's not on a massive contract or anything.
Obviously, that was quite a big news story, and a lot of it was due to the fact that it was masking agent rather than a steroid that was found, and the consensus was the fact that he was trying to hide something. Hence, if you find a masking agent, very similar to cycling, you find a masking agent, then you're immediately banned because like you're trying to hide something, whether you did it intentionally or not. Huge for the Mariners, obviously. Did you catch that news, and did you have any thoughts at the time, Darius?
Yeah, I thought that was one of the few things I think that sort of passed into my stream of consciousness as I was sort of away and in the midst of coming back, that Cano had been suspended. So yeah, kind of a bit of an out of the blue one. The one thing that always strikes me about these is they've obviously known about it for months, I think. He was notified in the off season, from what I can gather, and he got hurt, right, and decided not to challenge it, and thought he'd serve the suspension while he was on the DL anyway. So yeah, that was a bit of a shock, and I think maybe the more surprising thing for me was that that he'd been suspended, and that the Mariners seemed to keep winning games anyway afterwards. I kind of got back expecting to see the Mariners had completely fallen off the race, and instead they're still hot on the tail of the Astros.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually. I think the NL West is probably going to be the division that I'm looking forward to doing for our pre... AL West is probably the ones I'm really looking forward to the most, because as much as we enjoy Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, I probably have watched them the least this season, that division. So I definitely want to know what's going on the Mariners. So I'm looking forward to hearing what they, their fans have to say. 12th of May, we have PJ Conlon make his debut. So the latest British-born player who have appeared in majors is now PJ Conlon, which happened on the 12th of May, or I think it might be the 11th, but their news story is the day after. We had some small news on the, I think it was the 6th or the 8th of May, where there was some games in London announced. I don't know if you, you heard that, Darius, at all.
Doesn't sound like something that we'd really be interested in, so I kind of glossed over that one.
I'm sure there'll
be a spate of stories again in maybe a few months' time talking about the big news that there's going to be baseball in the UK, if the previous announcements are anything to go by.
Yeah, because it did seem to just get filtered out slowly, didn't it? It just drip-fed out, and then eventually it was like, oh, by the way, we're coming to the UK. Is anyone aware? Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing that it all sort of came out that way. This is terrible. I can't actually find any news stuff. I'm just clicking through, and it's a lot of college baseball stuff. I think we're going to scrap this idea because it's just not working.
What's been going on in college baseball while I've been away?
Perth Amboy Baseball reaches the GMCT final for the first time in school history. So, you know, the Greater Middlesex Conference baseball season has been a roller coaster ride. So,
wow.
There is that. Oh, well, on the 20th of May, when you came back, Jose Bautista was cut by the Braves and has since joined the Mets. So any hot takes on Jose Bautista?
I mean, I did not think it would last with the Braves, but I suppose if you were going to pick a team that was going to pick him up immediately upon another team cutting him, it probably would be the Mets, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think Bautista is done, sadly. I certainly don't think he can play third base at a respectable major league level at this point. And if he's, you know, not going to be an above average third baseman, which he definitely isn't, then he needs to hit a lot, which he also hasn't done for a while. So as many great moments as he's brought us, and probably the greatest bat flip of all time, I think, this is just another bit of a weird signing for a Mets team that probably should be trying to figure out how to get, I don't know, Wilmer Flores in the lineup. I know he's injured again now, but they're always trying to find ways to get him out of the lineup. And this is no exception.
Of course, Bautista's backflip, which caused Goose Gossage's rant, which led to us naming this podcast exactly that. So we do have a special place in the heart for Bautista. And of course, him getting hit by Rugdell and all was pretty, pretty impressive. I'll always remember that. So seeing as this has been a disaster, because I haven't been able to prep for it whatsoever and come up with any decent news stories, we'll run straight into the questions because we've only got 15 minutes as well. So I'm just going to say the word Josh Hader to you, so at least you can get your Fangraphs page up at the same time that I'm doing it, if you haven't seen the question already, Darius. But Russell Eason says to us, what chance does Josh Hader have to win the NL Cy Young Award? I think that's it's going to be quite difficult to take it away from the likes of Scherzer, but what chance do you think he's got?
I think the problem Josh Hader has is maybe that the composition and the attitude of the voting pool has changed somewhat. And I think if you'd asked me this question maybe even a few years ago, I would have said, I think he's probably got a decent chance the way he's pitching. But I think that the kind of people who are voting in the awards now, they tend to be a little bit more saber savvy. They know how difficult it is for relievers to be worth as much as starters. So I think if Josh Hader does this, what he's been doing for the first 2 months for the whole year, then maybe, you know, some people are still going to pick him. But it's just such a different environment now, I think, from the environment when Eric Gagne won it, or maybe the better comparison is, I don't know, somebody in the 70s. I know Mike Marshall won the Cy Young as a reliever back in the 70s. The Dodgers, completely different kind of pitcher to Hader, who's just striking out everybody, and maybe Gagne is the better comparison from that point. But I think probably Josh Hader might also need to sort of crock Max Scherzer and maybe a few other of the the top pitchers. I'm just going to have a look at the old leaderboard now. I don't actually know where Scherzer ranks in WAR. I assume it's towards the top.
Yeah, so he's second in WAR at the moment, and then the next.
Yeah, and that's the Verlander, isn't it? So in the NL, it is Scherzer is ahead. I just don't see which voters are going to look at 200 plus innings of max Scherzer quality and say, oh yeah, Josh Hader with his, I don't know what it's going to end up being, 120 innings of admittedly ridiculous strikeout totals and still say that he's better. But we've never really seen anybody do what Hader's doing right now. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will be in more consideration than I'm giving him credit for.
Do you think there's going to be issues with the fact that he's not making the saves, though? So he's not getting the save opportunity. I know he's got six so far, but he's not sort of the one first in line, is he, to get the save opportunity? Do you think the sort of old school voters are going to go against that if he does stand any chance?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that probably is a point in his favour for the newer school guys who won't care about saves. But if there are still people voting in, you know, the sort of way that Gagne won it, because he did, I think he had some ludicrous streak of successfully converting 80 plus saves or something over the course of his peak. I think that probably would help in terms of those old school voters if he went out and got 40, 50 saves and had, you know, a one ERA and struck out 19 batters per nine or whatever it is he's going to end up doing. But I think he probably needs Scherzer to get injured is my honest answer.
Yeah, he's got it. Well, Scherzer, DeGrom, there's quite a few up there. Well, there's likely DeGrom, Aaron Nola as well. There's been some ridiculous pitching performances so far. Noah Syndergaard's gone on the DL, so A, no surprise there, and B, that's one off the list. I think we both know the answer, but to try and ask the question that some may ask, if the Brewers don't end up going to the postseason, will that affect his chances?
Yeah, I suppose it could. I think we maybe have moved a little bit beyond that now. I remember all the pessimism a couple of years ago when everybody was going, oh, well, Mike Trout should win the MVP, but he's not going to because the Angels aren't very good and he's not made the postseason. And then he went out and comfortably won the award. And so I think maybe the days of those, you know, sort of not making the postseason arguments are starting to slip behind us a bit. And I think the Brewers are doing well enough so far that they're probably going to be in the race all the way. So I think that alone will keep him in contention for anybody who's even thinking of voting based on that. I think if the Brewers don't make the postseason, it's definitely not going to be Josh Hader's fault.
Yeah, I agree. I thought I'd just ask the question just purely because there will be some that are probably looking at the podcast and staring at it and going, well, what if they don't make the postseason? So I thought I'd at least say it. Okay, Matt Clough, who is at Orioles Desperado, who just it was so, I don't know if you listened to our AL East podcast, but as knowledgeable as Matt is, he sounded so depressed the whole time. I just felt for him every single moment of that podcast, and I'm still glad to this day that we did the order we did, because we started with miserable Matt and then moved on. Matt, you're not miserable, but you were miserable on that pod because of the state of the Orioles. He asked us three questions, so we'll try and get through these as quickly as possible. First one is most likely destination for Machado now a trade looks inevitable. I believe that Orioles ownership have said he won't be going into the AL East, so all the chat for the Yankees is out. But where do you think he may go?
Yeah, it's a good question. Are you looking at teams who actually need help at that position and who are in the hunt? I guess you would probably say the Dodgers right now. That seems like a team that's got a hole there now with Seager out, but. Yeah, it's also not really been the kind of move that they've done so much lately. So that was kind of the first team that came to mind for me. But did you have a candidate that jumped up?
I don't know, really. I suppose Dodgers is the main one. You would have said Dodgers, Yankees, just purely because of the farm system they've got to back it as well. I don't know, really. I think it's got to be the Dodgers because they're the only ones that can really pay for it and get him and then potentially keep him as well going forward. But then I suppose there's luxury tax implications, etc.
So and Seager will obviously be back. I mean, we hope he'll be back at full strength next year.
Yeah. So you're expecting Seager back. What's Justin Turner got left on his contract? I don't know if he's done anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's still a couple of years. They signed him for another four at least, I think.
Mm-hmm. But then if the Orioles aren't getting what they want from other teams, i.e. the Dodgers, who are saying, well, we'll take him now. We don't particularly want to keep him, so we won't pay that much to try and convince him in later life to stay here. Is it going to be a case of they're going to have to go to the Yankees because they're the only ones that can pay?
Well, yeah, I guess that's it. And the Orioles have been baffling us with decisions for some time now. Their refusal to play in the international market, Their refusal to trade Machado up to this point, when we all seem to think, well, there's no way they're going to be in it this season, so why didn't they trade him in the offseason? Here we are, and they're obviously completely out of it. I'm sorry to Matt if this is continuing to depress you, but I'm still not 100% convinced that they're going to move him. I know it doesn't make any sense, but we've sat here and thought, well, what are the Orioles doing on a number of occasions over the past few years? And quite a lot of times they've proved us wrong and gone on to contend. But I don't know if this is the time they're going to turn around and make the 100% logical trade that everybody thinks they're going to make.
Yeah, the Orioles doing something logical. That'd be interesting. I think he's going to go, though. I really don't think they're going to get what they think they're going to get. Matt made the point that they should have done it 18 months ago, but I think the Oriole fan base would have gone completely mad about that. I mean, 18 months is way too early. You're trading someone you're expecting to lose. Okay, his second question he asks is, where is Verlander on the Hall of Fame scale? I've loaded the Hall of Fame starting pitchers that are in there. And in terms of war, they rank from 8.79 war. This is on BREF. So that's an interesting one, that someone got in there with 8.79 and all the way up to 169 war. Very basic. Justin Verlander's got 60 war at the moment. Where do you think he is on that scale?
I think he's pushed himself over now. I mean, obviously anything could happen the rest of the way, but I think if he'd come out this season, and I know that Pecota didn't like Verlander's chances as a 35-year-old who'd had a couple of shaky seasons fairly recently, if he'd come out and really dropped off this season and not been that ace guy, I think he would have been kind of that difficult borderline case. But the way he's pitching right now, I don't see any reason to suspect that he's immediately going to drop away. We could potentially even get another 2-3 years of, very good, if not elite level Verlander. So I think he's kind of there now, really. He's going to be in the Cy Young conversation again this year. He's got an MVP award under his belt, and the 60 war is kind of right on the borderline anyway for what people would consider Hall of Fame. And the other thing I think we should bear in mind with Verlander is the number of pitchers who pitch as many innings as he does, who are that workhorse guy, is just declining year after year. So I think it's going to be quite difficult for voters to look at a guy like him when he hits the ballot and say, you're not in the Hall of Fame, because then it becomes, well, which pitchers are you putting in the Hall of Fame? Because who's been better than Justin Verlander over the course of his career? Kershaw, Felix maybe on occasion, but he's kind of questionable now. He's falling off in his 30s. There just aren't that many guys there. So I think he's going to be in now, that the way he started this season and given his resume to this point.
I think he's got to be. He's done, I've just done a quick count there, I think it's 14 seasons he's done. He's got 1, 2, 3 seasons, and obviously this one currently going, where he was under 200 innings. So the rest of them have been over. And that's crazy when you look at it. I mean, bear in mind, one of those three seasons is 186 innings pitched, and that was in 2006. His ground ball rate has been dropping the whole time, so he's been getting more to strikeouts. His left on base percentage at the moment is 90.9%, which is absolutely crazy. There's a lot of stats that aren't sustainable there, but still, after that lightning start, you're going to expect him to continue it. And then, like you say, go on to the Hall of Fame. I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue for him. He seems like a good candidate for me. Quickly moving on then, Darvish, still suffering a World Series hangover or something more troubling? I haven't watched many Darvish starts, I've got to be honest, and I haven't really looked into the stats. I don't know if you're still doing Wrigleyville stuff. Are you watching Darvish still?
Yeah, I've watched him a couple of times. He's had a little bit of bad luck. I think he's had a little bit of a adjustment period to working with Wilson Contreras, to pitching in a different park, facing different players. I think the Cubs are probably trying to do something different with him to what the Dodgers were doing. So there's probably a bit of adjustment on that side as well. And I think that the tweet mentioned that he has struggled with injuries as well a bit. He had a nasty virus at one point. He's on the DL again now. So it's been a kind of just a little tricky, interrupted start to the season for him, I think. But the stuff is so good. I have confidence that he'll be able to come back and be a good pitcher for the Cubs in the second half. But yeah, maybe it's going to be a little while, especially with this new DL stint. And it's just sometimes I think we underrate the difficulty of players switching, not just teams, but leagues in particular, when you're seeing a whole new set of players, often for the first time.
Yeah, I'm going to bow to your experience and knowledge there. I don't know. I've not watched any Darvish starts this year. Just quickly looking at his stats in the last 3 years, 4 years, his career ERA has been rising, FIP's been rising, XFIP's been rising. Everything's sort of trending in the wrong direction. But yeah, I think changing teams twice probably doesn't help him either. Jason Toms asks us, is there a difference between dirty and illegal? Is it physically possible for MLB to discipline Anthony Rizzo at all or anything without being smoked by a lightning bolt from on high? clearly, I've got quite a few views on the Anthony Rizzo stuff. So all the tweets that we put out were purely me. There was nothing to do with John. However, I think John may be backing me on this one as well. I thought it was disgusting. That's twice now in the space of a year that he's done that. He was, especially on the second one, he was out anyway. He was never going to make it. And he was trying to break up the play. The mentality of he was going in hard and doing the right thing and it's a great play. And Joe Maddon saying that, you know, he agrees with it completely. And I think it's terrible. And I also think it's terrible that the attitude is, well, we'll just get beaten tomorrow night, so it doesn't really matter. No, disagree with that as well, which I think I went through enough on the tweets. That's not the attitude. The attitude should be MLB need to do something about it and stop players from doing it by punishing them, taking them out of the lineup. At least then the manager's not going to back them with some ridiculous statement saying that it's absolutely fine. Darius, we talked about you trying to take the other side every now and then, and we're all trying to build a different take every now and then. Have you got anything different from that?
I think it's very hard. There are two things I guess I will say to sort of attempt to offer a balanced perspective. One is that Anthony Rizzo has probably spent most of his baseball career being taught to break up double plays any way he can. This is not the way to go about it. This was very dangerous. The catcher couldn't see him. I think to people saying it's just like the play at second base, it's not, because the catcher was not even looking at Anthony Rizzo. He had no chance to get out of the way. He could have suffered an extremely serious injury. So that it's not true. And yes, I guess you could still technically reach the baseline, but the clear path is on the outside of the baseline, not the fair side. So there's no excuse for it, really. But I think Rizzo has obviously spent a lot of time being taught that. And clearly in the heat of the moment, twice now, he has made the wrong decision. I hesitate to say anything about Anthony Rizzo's, you know, malicious intent. He generally seems like a nice guy. And, you know, I don't know that he was thinking the whole time, I'm going to crush the catcher here. But clearly something took over that made him think that was the right play to make. And when you review it, it really wasn't. So, yeah, I think that's probably what I would say in his favour. And I think Joe Maddon is just being Joe Maddon and defending his players. Look at his comments and think how ridiculous they are. And this certainly isn't the first time we've done it. But at the same time, I thought it was rather predictable that he did so. And I wouldn't really expect him to do anything else.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that. The whole thing of is there a difference between dirty and illegal? I haven't looked at the rule book. I was planning to do that before this pod, but I didn't get a chance. Essentially, I think the umpires can determine anything to be against the rules and just throw a player out anyway. So if they could have done, they would have done. If they wanted to, they could have done. I quite like the idea of citing it a bit like rugby, where you do it after the game and review it, and then you could ban them for games. But that's going to take a huge change for baseball to do that. Let me check if we've got any more questions before you go, Darius, because I'm aware. Oh, this is a good one. Alex McClellan has just come in. How many burner accounts, Twitter accounts, does Rob Manfred have? If out of the loop, news broke today that NBA Philly 76ers Brian Colangelo has plenty to antagonize his players on social media. I think Ben's actually looking at this, but a follow-up question, how many would George Steinbrenner have had? I don't know. Do you reckon Manfred's actually interested in Twitter? I imagine he is, trying to get some gauge of opinion.
Yeah, I always wonder what kind of research they're doing, you know, to keep their finger on the pulse, figure out what people want. I don't even know if Twitter's really the best way to do that, because I think, you know, it seems like in one way a great way to get people's opinions, but actually it's sort of this weird bubble of very specific internet users. So yeah, I reckon Manfred himself probably doesn't have any, but I reckon that they've got a team down at MLB who are constantly monitoring such things. But I don't know that Manfred would probably feel the need to go around trying to influence people. I think he's probably got other things on his mind, like, you know, introducing silly rules to try and speed up the game.
Maybe that's what Ben's secretly doing. That's why he's never here anymore. Just Ben's doing the secret.
Yeah, I can see, Ben's definitely there, like, probably just he's got some you know, agenda to push on social media, and he's running 50 separate Twitter accounts about, just sort of responding to tweets on various issues,
mainly Nolan Arenado, and that's it.
Yeah.
How many would still George Steinbrenner have had? I don't think he would have. I think he'd just been angry at anyone for having one, or having any fun, or smiling, or facial hair.
Yeah, I think Steinbrenner probably just comes out and says what he wants in the Twitter age, isn't it? So if he'd been on Twitter, I think he would have done the, you know, Donald Trump and tweeted whatever he liked.
Yeah, but, you know, I threw shade at Hal and he came back with nothing. So who's the bigger man, eh? Anyway, we've got a tweet from Astros Fans UK, which is George Martin, who's a very good friend of ours. He said, "Will you be discussing our recent MLB Meetups UK event in London? It was a great night and hugely keen to get you guys and many more back for the next one in July. Date to be confirmed." Yes, please do go and follow at MLB UK Community. They are doing a great, great service down there, just setting up all these events, getting people down to Belushi's in London, and also supporting others to do their events as well. Please do go and check out their Twitter account. We will pump it out as well to make sure we mention them. I personally wasn't there. Darius wasn't there. I know Ben was there and he really enjoyed it. John was moving house and doing work, which he's still doing tonight as well. But we weren't there for that one, unfortunately. The previous ones I've been to have been fantastic. And Belushi's is a superb venue as well. By the looks of it, last event, they had the room that we were originally in and also pushed out into a couple of booths that were outside that room. So they're doing a sterling job down there. So please do go and support them. They're doing good work. They got free baseball cards. I don't know if they had free beer this time, but they certainly had a 15% discount for the MLB Europe shop. So please look out for that in future. Darius, any thoughts on those guys and their fantastic work?
Not much to add. I was sadly, yes, couldn't make it. I live in a great place, but one of the drawbacks is that it is a long way from places where things like this actually happen, generally speaking. So I'm sorry that I couldn't make it. Hopefully make it down to the next one. And I think anybody listening to this who is a baseball fan should get themselves along, because the internet makes it very easy to follow baseball these days. But you can't really beat talking the game with a bunch of other fans in person, I think, and watching it live with a group. It's really good fun. We had a lot of fun at the first one this year, and there's going to be a lot more, not only in London but around the country elsewhere as well. So I would encourage anybody who hasn't been along to one to get down. Everybody's very friendly, and you will have a great time.
Great fantasy baseball invitational update. I am 10th in my league. Where are you, Darius?
I'm doing badly at the moment. I think I'm 11th or 12th.
What does that mean? I might be beating you in the overall standings.
You might. We have a weird league. We're one of the more compressed, I think. I don't think any of our guys are like in the top 30 or in the bottom 30, or at least they weren't the last time I looked. We're quite evenly matched, generally speaking. So it gets a bit weird there. But I have Rizzo, who's starting to heat up now, but I had Corey Seager. I had Billy Hamilton. I have Kershaw. I have Ian Desmond. it's not been good.
I managed to pick up Savelli on the waiver wire for absolutely nothing, which was fantastic. I was so happy to get that. So I'm 10th at the moment with 70.5 points. The man who run the whole thing and got the whole thing set up, who's a very good friend of yours, Justin Mason, he's bottom with 51.5 points. And he's just recently made about 9 changes in one weekend's worth of fab. So it should be quite interesting to see what happens with him. I think his eyes might have been elsewhere. I think he might be looking at Tout Wars, but it's been brilliant. For those that aren't sure, go to at the GFBI on Twitter. It's a huge 15 league system with 15.
It's 13 leagues, 15 teams in each league, yeah. So 195 players, yeah.
It's crazy. There's a load of people playing against each other. I don't know how I got in. I'm going to go on Justin's podcast soon to talk about that. I think I might have been that sort of World Series of Poker guy who won a, you know, on the back of a cereal box to go and enter the tournament, because I am terrible. But I'm 10th. It's brilliant. That's enough about us. Darius, I'm sure you have to go now and need to get away.
I have to go. I have to go and speak to Justin, actually, so I should run now, yes.
Right. Darius, where can people find you, your writing, etc.?
As you can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. You can find all my fancy writing over at Baseball Prospectus, including weekly stuff about TGFBI. So if you're interested in that league, check that out. You can also find me over at Banished to the Pen. A good friend of mine, Alex Christofouli, is doing a very fun series right now, identifying the player who most embodies each team's batting and pitching stat line. So the first one of those went up today for the NL. If you're wondering who's most typifies your team's line over the course of its entire history, then Alex has got the answer for you, and the AL will be coming later this week. So definitely check that out. And of course, you can find me here at Batflips and Nerds. I'm talking about important things like all the news that I missed when I was away.
Well, we tried anyway. Darius, if you want to go straight away. I'll finish the outro on here. It's fine. Enjoy. See ya. Right, you can find me at Pedroia's Face. You can find us at Batflips_Nerds on Twitter. Please do go check out the website, batflipsandnerds.com. We've been doing lots of writing recently. I've turned to analytics rather than doing silly posts about traffic cones. So please go look at that. We've got some excellent new writers and regular columns. We've got a betting column now for the best tips. We've also got a learning baseball through books as well. We've got plenty going on there. So please do go and check it out, batflipsandnerds.com. We've also got a shop. We've got some fantastic t-shirts. So we've got a new t-shirt that has a baseball bat and it says British baseball fan on it. There's been some questions over why haven't you done team stuff. Well, you can't do team stuff because you get MLB and the Boston Red Sox come stamping down on you for doing so. So you can't do team stuff. So we're doing a very basic British baseball fan one. We've also got a t-shirt with Joe Votto that says underneath it, they pay me to walk. Clearly no regalia or logos or anything from the Cincinnati Reds, but it's clear who it is. Yes, so sorry it's been a short one. Sorry it's very quick. Sorry it's not been very prepared. But, you know, we thought we'd get in there, get Darius back, say hello to him. We want to do something because we'd booked him in anyway. Unfortunately, John couldn't make it. Hopefully, John will be back soon. In fact, no, he won't because John's going to Boston next week. So look out for some live reporting from John. Look out for lots of photos, lots of videos and stuff on the Twitter account where he'll be going to a few minor league games and some Red Sox games. I believe him and Blake Finney are meeting up to go to a Red Sox game. They're going to pick me up a Benintendi bobblehead, which is very, very nice of them, seeing as he's one of my favourite players. We've got nothing else, literally nothing. I'm sat here on my own, staring at the standings, wondering what else to talk about. I don't think we can talk about anything else, really. I think we're done. So thanks. Sorry. Please come back next week. Bye.